It's my privilege this morning to introduce Lee to you. Lee is going to share with us this morning. She is an evergreen parenting consultant. They are also the pastors at Shofar Century City, Lee and her husband, Jaku. And Lee is really called to parenting. She knows that that's something God speaks to her about and something that he uses her in. So we're really privileged that she would be sharing with us this morning. I also phoned Lee to ask my parenting questions and go to see Lee. And the first thing that I thought of when I thought about introducing you this morning is that after the 2 weeks ago, we had a leadership weekend here, and there was a kids conference. And Lee's three children were also at the kids conference, two boys and a little girl, Lucy. And afterwards, we were speaking about the kids conference. I was speaking to the facilitator saying, how did it go? What went well? What didn't go well? What stood out for you, et cetera? And one of the things they said to me is that Jaco and Lee's children are really amazing. So there you have it. If you know the kids are coming out well, then there's a good invitation. So we welcome you, Lee. We open our hearts to you. Thank you for coming this morning.
Always when I start speaking to people, I make it very clear, for those that don't know me and my family, that we are not perfect parents. And our kids are not perfect, so I'm very glad to hear that that our children were amazing at the kids' conference. But I can assure you that they are not amazing all the time. And I'm also sure that I have made more mistakes than all of you as parents. Why I'm standing here today, as Leona said, sorry guys, just organizing my things, is really because my husband and I are called to this ministry. When we became parents, it was quite a shock to us. It was a very big adjustment for us, and so much so that I literally really wanted to give our firstborn back. I realized that we were not cut out to be parents. This was a mistake. We were never meant to be parents, and it would really be better if God took this child back, better for everybody. But that was something that we needed to go through. Sorry, I'm going to just turn this way. Everybody's sitting on the side. Thanks. Okay. But God used that difficult time in our lives, in my life, to really give me a passion for other parents. And that's really why I'm standing here today. So I stand here not as a perfect parent who gets everything right, but just as a parent who's really passionate about parenting and about raising a godly generation and about passing on a spiritual legacy to our children. I really have a passion to see healthy families. I think we can all agree that the state of families in our country and in the world, it's really shocking. So our passion is to rebuild those walls, like in Nehemiah, to rebuild the broken down walls and to restore the gates of families. So that's really what I'm excited about. So yeah, it's a privilege to be here with you guys this morning and to be able to share this with you. And I just also want to honor Reina and Leona. And a few weeks ago when we were here for the leadership training, Jaco and I are just so excited about what is going on here. You guys have an incredible venue, and it was so wonderful just to see your passion and the wonderful atmosphere that's here, the atmosphere of the Lord. So, I just want to honor you guys as well for your passion for God's kingdom and for what he's called you to. I just want to check quickly, how many of you have attended the Evergreen Parenting course before? Okay, not so many. Today we're going to be talking specifically about practical discipline and, what to do in different situations. And I hope it will help you in the situations that you're facing. But I just want to make it clear that there's a lot more to parenting than just a whole bunch of discipline tools. We really want to lay a foundation and to create a framework within which we are going to discipline our children. So if you haven't done the course, I really want you to encourage you to do it. We talk about things like healthy authority, like the developmental phases of children and different parenting styles and seasons for those different styles when they are appropriate. There's just so much more that we cover. So I really want to encourage you to do that. As well, so that this doesn't come out of context. Obviously, the day-to-day things that we face with our children are very, real to us, and we need practical help with that. But we don't want to lose sight of the bigger picture of what parenting is really about. because we get caught up in that, the nitty-gritties, and then we lose perspective. So what is parenting really about? Parenting is discipleship. If any of you haven't realized that yet this morning, I want to tell you that that is what it is. We are discipling our children. We are calling our children to follow us as we follow Christ, like Paul said. And that's a big call, to be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to show you how to follow Christ. And that is what parenting is about. So the definition of parenting as discipleship, I don't know if you guys can see at that angle. If you want to see, let's just move around. Is the purposeful shaping of a child's thoughts, decisions, actions, habits, and character to become a self-controlled, mature adult. Now, that's quite a big call. And we have to have a picture of what that means. What does it mean for us as parents to be a self-controlled, mature adult? We need to decide that up front, because otherwise we're going to get distracted with what people say or with what's going on now. The idea is not that we want to get our kids to follow every instruction and to have a neat and tidy room or whatever it may be. Those are all fruits of that. But what is the end result? What is the goal that we are aiming for when our children are adults? And that's what we should be focused on. Parenting is a discipleship process, and the fruit of that process might not be visible for many years. Now, that might be bad news for some of us, because we would like to see some fruit today, please, if possible. But we might only see that fruit in many years to come. But we have to recognize that there's no shortcut to maturity. Maturity really takes time. It's not instant. In our culture today, we want everything today. We want everything right now, and often we can get it right now. But maturity doesn't work like that. How many of you would say that you are disrespectful sometimes? There we go. Not even going to give examples. Everyone's honest here. How many of you are aggressive sometimes? There we go. How many of you are selfish sometimes? Okay. And I think we can all agree that this is sinful, ungodly behavior. And therefore, we can all agree that we are still growing and we are still being discipled. And some of us are getting old. My husband is turning 40 next year. It's really crazy. 30 was fine, but 40 sounds really old. I don't know about you guys. So as we sit here today, each one of us, God is working in our lives with something. There's something that He's got His focus on at the moment, and we are busy growing, and we are busy being discipled. And we need to recognize that. Sometimes we get really impatient with our kids because they're not getting it right, and because we're having to deal with this thing 10 times in one day, perhaps, and that's not an exaggeration. But we need to be patient. Parenting is hard work. And sometimes we forget that, and then we become discouraged. But we need to remember that it's hard work. And we need to maintain that long-term perspective. What is it that we are aiming for? What is that maturity that we are going for? And sometimes we are tempted to take the road of least resistance, aren't we? We're tempted to give in to their manipulation, or whatever it may be, or just ignore the behavior that we don't want to deal with. But then we have to be aware of what that's going to mean in the long term. Okay. Hebrews 12 verse 11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." And there it is. Discipline is not nice. It's not nice for our children. And it's not nice for us either. It's not pleasant at the time, but later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. And that is what we need to keep in mind. That's that perspective that we need to maintain. And then in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees." Now, in this portion of scripture, that's referring to the one that's being disciplined. But when I read it, I just thought, how many of us feel like that today? How many of us feel, as we are discipling our kids, disciplining our kids, that our arms are feeble and our knees are weak? because of this discipline process and because it's taking so long and because sometimes it doesn't seem to be working. But I am always encouraged by Galatians 6 verse 9 that says, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. So this morning I really want to encourage you to not lose heart, because in due season you will reap. In due season we will reap self-control, mature adults, if we keep on at what we're doing and realize the important job that we have. Okay. I think a lot of us go through a time when we just want to give up because our children put up such a fight. It seems like it's not working and it's not worth the effort. But they are going to put up a fight because it's not nice and it's against their will and against their sinful nature. And we do it too. We also put up a fight sometimes when God is wanting us to grow and wanting us to change. But don't give up. Okay. All right, so this morning we are going to talk about practical discipline, and we're going to go through some different types of misbehavior. But before we do that, I just want to talk about some golden rules of discipline. Okay, so the first one is that the time for instructing our children is too short to ignore misbehavior. Now, the humanistic view that we often faced with today will tell us that children are inherently good, and that any problem with their behavior is as a result of something that we have done. Perhaps we are too strict, or we haven't loved them enough, or we don't understand them properly. We need to give them room to express themselves. And what we know from a biblical perspective is that we are all born in sin, and therefore we all have a sinful nature. And our children do not know all by themselves what is right and wrong and what is good and bad. They have to be taught that. And that is our role as parents today. The last while, I don't know if it's like that here in your congregation as well, but we have been talking over and over and over again about having a godly perspective, a biblical worldview. Because if we don't have that, we so easily get swept up in what the world around us is saying. We read parenting magazines, or we listen to things on the radio, we watch TV programs, or we listen to what someone says to us in the shop, a complete stranger, or in the park when they comment about something that we are doing or not doing. And we so quickly form our worldview around those things. And that's why it's so important for us to be connected to the Lord, to abide in His Word, to abide in His presence, and to pray constantly so that we can maintain God's perspective on parenting and what we are supposed to be doing and not everything around us. So we really have to maintain that perspective. Our child's behavior shows that there's something that they still need to learn, and that's what we need to teach them. So we can't just ignore their behavior. There's something that they need to learn. And if we don't teach it to them, then they're not going to learn it. Okay. Right, then rule 2 says that when at first words don't work, make your actions stronger and not your voice. Now, I don't suppose any of you shout at your kids when they don't listen to you, but some of us do sometimes. And the thing is that we train our children to only listen to us when we get to a certain volume, okay? So it goes up and up and up and up, and then eventually they know, okay, when she gets to this level, then she's going to do something, so now we must act. But in the same way, we can teach our children to respond when we speak the first time. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't get this right all the time, because the fact is this is hard work. The only model that really works is to give your child an instruction to make sure that they hear what you said, and then give them time to respond, but not too much time. And if they don't, to then announce the consequence. Now, it sounds very simple, but it is hard work, and we do need to be consistent. But the good news is that if we do this properly from a young age and consistently, then we save ourselves a lot of problems in the long run and a lot of shouting and unpleasant atmosphere in the home as well. Okay. And what will probably happen, especially if your child is not used to you responding so quickly, is that they probably are going to have a bit of an explosive reaction. But then in those situations, we still need to stay calm and just announce the next consequence for that behavior. Okay, but also we need to make sure that we've discussed these things with our children. The next rule we're going to talk about discipline outside of the situation. But I just want to mention here that you need to have agreed upon those consequences beforehand. Okay, so you can't just surprise your child with, oh, this is what's going to happen now, if you haven't laid that boundary beforehand. Okay. Then rule number three says that the best time for discipline is outside of the situation. Okay, so they're in the heat of a moment. Everybody's emotions are high. Maybe everybody's shouting. There's probably some people that are watching what's going on as well if you're in the shop or somewhere else. You start preaching, and this is not ideal, clearly. All your child is going to see is a whole bunch of emotions, and they're not going to learn anything out of it. And your child will most probably think that the problem is with them as well, rather than with their behavior. So the ideal is, when we talk about dealing with discipline outside of the situation, is to do it beforehand already. Okay, so most of us already know what our child's going to do when we get to the sweet aisle at the shop. Or we know that they're going to be upset when we say it's time to go home from the park, or it's time to go home when we were visiting friends. We know what they're going to do, because we've experienced it a couple of times. So we need to sit down beforehand and decide what are we going to do, and we need to lay that boundary for our child beforehand so that when they step over that boundary, they know exactly what they are walking into, and they're going to choose that consequence. Okay, so that's what we mean by outside of the situation. Excuse me. For example, you know, when we go to church on a Sunday morning, we lay down those boundaries for our children. We say to them, what are the rules? We have a few rules. And then they name them up for us. And what happens if you obey all the rules? There's a reward associated with that. What happens if you don't obey the rules? So they know exactly. So when afterwards we say, well, this and this and this went wrong, then there's very little argument because they went in there with their eyes wide open. But obviously there are times when our kids do surprise us, or we're in a new situation that we haven't experienced before, and we didn't preempt what was going to happen. But then we just need to stay calm. We need to get through all the emotions. We need to get rid of our audience. And then we need to go and sit down and unpack what happened and find a better way of dealing with it when it happens again. We really need to develop a plan. Now, I'm a planning person. Are there any other planners here in the room? There we go. Okay, we aren't all. But we tend to get angry because we don't have a plan. You get uptight and you don't know what to do and you lose your temper because you don't know what to do. You don't know how to deal with the situation. And that's what something like this course is so great. That's what's so great about it is that it helps us to develop that plan. And that really changed my life. I had a lot of struggles. I struggled a lot with anger with my children specifically. And this was one of the first steps that helped me to just get some structure in my home and get some structure to how things work, so that things could run more smoothly. So, go through. You don't have to, you know, you don't want to wait a few days before you discipline your child or punish them or talk about the situation. But even small kids, they remember what happened this morning. It doesn't have to happen right there. So if you're not sure, rather get out of the situation, think through it carefully. If you've done the course, go through your book, go and check what is it that happened here, what is the best way of dealing with it, rather than reacting in the moment and regretting what you did later, or even doing something that is damaging to your child. So there's nothing wrong with that, and it's a much better course of action. Okay. Rule number four, let your discipline end in a correction rather than a punishment, because punishment does not teach the child what to do in the future. Okay. Punishment really only has one word. It says no. It tells our children what they must not do. Whereas a correction has a very large vocabulary and it teaches our child what to do in the next time. So sometimes we're going to have to do both. We're going to have to punish our child for their behavior, but we need to do more than that. We also need to correct them. We also need to say, this is what I want you to do next time. Or you are going to need to go and say sorry to that friend now and maybe take them a cookie or something so that they can learn a better way of doing things. A teenager that comes home after his curfew, he might get grounded, and that's fine, but he's not going to learn better time management sitting in his room. Okay, you're going to have to work out a strategy to help him the next time that he goes out so that he can be back at the right time. With small children, do-overs are very important. Insist that they do something over and do it in the right way. Your little one grabs something from his brother, and then you say, no, 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 you give it back, and then you ask nicely. And you can even do it over a few times so that they can practice. Or if they speak to somebody disrespectfully, have them ask again nicely. That's a very good way for small children specifically. All right, and then rule number 5 says identify the type of misbehavior and then choose the appropriate response. And the question that we need to ask ourselves here is, what is it that my child still doesn't have or still doesn't understand? Okay, so when your child behaves in a certain way, perhaps they asked you for something and you said no, and now they're moaning about it or stamping their feet or rolling on the ground or all of the above, then you need to realize that your child still doesn't understand your right as a parent to be able to say yes or no. And that's an opportunity for you to teach them that again and to remind them of that. That's just an example. Now, again, I don't get this right all the time, and I often get frustrated when we have to deal with the same thing over and over and again. But if we can just remind ourselves that every discipline situation is an opportunity for us to teach our child something, isn't that a much better perspective to have? I was thinking I should maybe put this poster up in my house to remind me. This is simply an opportunity to teach my child something that they don't know, because that's really what it's about. But we are busy, we are doing a whole bunch of things, and we do get frustrated. They do, take up our time and interrupt us while we're doing things. But that's part of it, and that's part of where we have to grow, where we have to learn to lay down our lives, and where we have to learn to be patient and to be unselfish and to put someone before ourselves. So we are discipled in the process of discipling our own children. And we also need to realize we're going to go through the different types of misbehavior now. But in a particular discipline situation, there can be smoke from a number of different fires. So there might be a few different types of misbehavior in each situation. And we need to train ourselves to recognize those so that we can know how to deal with each of them. Okay? But before we go through those, I want each of you to, if you've got a pen, write it down, or just to try and think of the one, there are probably a few, but try and think of one type of misbehavior of your child that bothers you the most, the one thing that's bugging you the most at the moment. If you don't have children, then think of somebody else's child and the behavior that bugs you the most. Everyone got something? I could name quite a few. Okay, so as we go through the different types of misbehavior, I want to see if you can identify the type of behavior that you have just written down now. Okay, and also what the best ways of dealing with it. I'm going to run through this fairly quickly. In the course it is covered in more detail. I'll mention it at the end again, but afterwards there's a table just around the corner. I'll be standing there. If any of you would like to come and ask questions, you're very welcome. There's some fantastic resources to help you as well. I'll mention some of them as we go along. But please don't be shy to come and ask some questions if you have any. All right, the first type of behavior is emotionally immature behavior or childish behavior. So that will be things like bursting out in tears of frustration, being very shy, getting angry very quickly, being sore losers, biting nails, taking their blankie and dummy with them wherever they go, being scared of the dark, telling lies, regression, which is becoming like a baby, those types of things. Okay. What we want to do in those situations is we want to acknowledge their emotion. Okay, so we want to say, you know, if your child perhaps tells lies, which is quite normal for little ones to tell lies to avoid punishment, but you want them to obviously grow out of that. Hopefully we don't still tell lies to avoid punishment. But we want to acknowledge that. So we want to say, I see that you are lying to me because you are scared that I'm going to punish you. And identify that emotional need. That's part of that. And then empower the child. So, you know, lies is just an example, but what can you do differently next time? With lies specifically, we need to talk to them about trust. Now, if you lie to me, I can't trust you. And give them an opportunity to be able to fix what they're doing. So you can say, I want you to tell me what you did. If you tell me, this will happen. But if you don't tell me, I'm going to punish you more severely because you're lying to me. Okay. They need to learn that is wrong. Set boundaries. So, for example, if they burst into tears of frustration or they're upset about something that they can't do, they can't have, it can be manipulation. But often they're really upset about something and they don't know how to express it other than crying about it. So you can say, I know that you're upset about this. I can see that it makes you very sad or whatever, that you can't have a sweetie or whatever it may be. But what you can rather say is, Mommy, I would really like one and I'm very sad, or can I please have one tomorrow? But if they insist on crying, is to set those boundaries and say, well, if you're still upset, then you just need to go and cry in your room. And when you feel better, then you come back again. And depending on the child, they will just go to the room and cry, or they will stop crying immediately because they don't want to be alone in their room, or they will perhaps increase the levels, and then it's most probably manipulation and not immature behavior. Okay, and then reward appropriate expressions of behavior or of emotions, and this is so important. When our daughter, at one stage, I can't remember what it was, but she would always cry about something if she couldn't get it. And we talked to her about it, and then one day she said something, and I said, no, she can't do it, or she can't have it, or whatever. And she said, okay. And I said, wow, Lucy, that was really good. You just said okay. And she says, I know, and I didn't even cry. So talking to them about it all the time, you know, really make a big deal about it when they get it right, okay? All right. Oh, then I just wanted to mention interruptions. For those of you who have done the course, you might have heard this. A great thing for children who interrupt you when you are speaking to other people is teach them that when they want to speak to you and you're speaking, to put their hand on your arm. And then you put your hand on top of theirs, to indicate that you know that they're there. And then when you finish your sentence or few sentences, or just ask the person you're speaking to just hold a minute, and then you hear what they want to say, and then you can carry on again. Again, depending on what kind of child you have, our middle child, he's very much introverted. He got it immediately. He just started doing it. The others took a bit longer. So you just need to keep reminding them, but it really works very well. So that's a great thing for interruptions. Right, the second type of behavior is inability and accidents. So that will be things like forgetting, having a short attention span, they work slowly, or they're messy eaters, or they wet or soil their pants, they don't perform well in schoolwork or in sport. And yeah, it's very important to understand the developmental phases of children. What are they able to do at certain stages? And that's something that we cover in the course as well. As well as temperament, which is also something we talk about in the course, because different temperaments have different weaknesses and different challenges associated with them. And if we understand those things, then we understand their limitations better as well. Okay.
So what do? We give them strategies and we coach the child with new skills. One of the resources that we have is a creative discipline DVD. I think some of you might have it already. And we make a use of a lot of the ideas on there. So I really want to recommend that if you've got it, go and have a look at it again. We went through a long phase where we didn't use it, and one day I thought, wait, I need to go and check what's on here. There's some really great ideas. And one of the latest ones that we're using is to teach good table manners. And you just take a toy pig, and he's the piggy on the table. And then if someone eats like a piggy, and you can decide what that means, so talking with food in their mouth or not eating over their plate or eating with their mouth open or whatever it may be, then whoever spots them can give them the piggy. And then they need to say what it is that they are doing wrong. And we've only been doing this for a few weeks, and it's worked wonders. I actually didn't do it for a long time because I thought, I just cannot imagine this working in our family. But it works really well. So that's just a way of teaching children new skills and making it fun as well. They really enjoy it. And create opportunities for them to practice without pressure, and also, of course, to set a mature example so that they can see how to do it properly. Right, the third type is irresponsibility with chores or with possessions or with their money. So things like losing or damaging belongings out of ignorance. They don't flush the toilet. They forget to do their chores. They come in late. They spend too much money, pack things in the wrong place, things like that. Can I get some water, please? Sorry, thanks. Okay. So here what we want to do is we want to make their chores part of their daily routine. So that helps him to remember it. Like when you have breakfast, then the dog also gets breakfast. So it just helps them to make that connection. We have...
Thanks, my donkey.
I brought these along to show you. It's one of the evergreen resources as well, but I just made these myself. They're what we call cleanup cards. So it just makes cleanup a bit more fun and teaches kids stuff as well. So there's all the different stuff that are in the room. There's cars and there's Lego and there's art stuff. There's rubbish. There's the bedding stuff. And you can play different games with them. So you have the pile and each child comes and grabs a card, and whatever they get, they need to tidy up. And what's also nice about that is they don't just tidy their own things. If they get the clothes card, then they need to pack the other children's clothes away as well. So it's just a fun way of teaching them where things belong, keeping the things tidy, and it's a fun way of doing that. We give the children reminder strategies. So for example, our 8-year-old, he's got a list stuck up where he has his breakfast of all the things that he needs to do. So he can just go and check there and make sure that everything is done. So ideas like that. Right, we expect them to help with replacing or repairing items. Okay, so that just teaches them responsibility with their belongings and with how they use things. And then natural and logical consequences are also important. So, for example, an older child, they've spent all their money before the holiday. So we don't want to now just give them extra money, because then they're never going to learn how to save and how to plan their money better. Right. So we don't want to run after them with stuff that they've forgotten. We don't want to just replace everything that they damage or lose. We don't want to fix their mistakes, because then they're not going to learn out of it. So as you can see, all three of these type of behaviors so far, it's all about coaching. We haven't punished anyone yet, because this is not punishable behavior. It's something that our child needs to learn. It's a skill that they need to learn. Okay. The next category is attention-seeking behavior. So they act silly, they tell tall tales, speak in a baby voice, or show off, or boast. They won't do anything unless the parent is there, so they want your attention all the time. Here we acknowledge the child's need for attention. Okay, so I can see that you want mommy to play with you now, but at the moment I'm speaking to Auntie Liana, and when we go home, then I will play with you, I will do something with you. Or you can sit here next to me and play something, or you can go play with the other friends, but right now. So you don't want to give them attention in that moment, even negative attention. because sometimes even that will be enough for them. Okay, and again, if your child persists with that kind of behavior, you might need to go over to punishment because now you've already spoken to them about that. And also, if you know that that tends to happen, perhaps when you go and visit people, then lay that boundary ahead of time and tell them, we're going there, they're going to be other friends, you can play with them. I'm going to be speaking to the big people. This is not just an example, so that they know what to expect, okay? But on this, I also just want to mention, because we live in a very busy world, we have busy lifestyles. Some of us are working parents, so we don't have that much time with our children. So we need to make sure that when we do have time with our children, we give them enough attention. We do give them the quality time that they're seeking for, because sometimes, it's not always going to be, but sometimes it's going to be a genuine need for your attention and to spend time with you. So we do need to make sure that we get that right as well. One of the CDs that I have at the back is specifically about quality time as well. And Hetty Brits, who developed Evergreen Parenting, she just talks about when you go fishing, if you only have a half an hour to fish, you need to know exactly where to throw in the line because you only have a short amount of time. And if that's the situation with your child, then you also need to know where to throw in the line with your child. And that is only going to come from quantity time, from spending enough time with your child to know what it is that they enjoy and what's important to them. So, you know, she says a lot of people will come to and ask her, what can they do if they only have 5 minutes? And maybe that is your situation at the moment, but you do need to lay a foundation of quality time first. For our eldest, if I want to spend time with him, and sometimes it is only 5 minutes, then it must be something competitive. He wants to play a game where he can win. He wants to run races. That's what that he wants to do. For our middle child, if doing art with you, it's like his love language. If you will sit and draw or do something creative with him, he loves that. And with Lucy, our little one, she is very much into imaginative play. As soon as she sees that I'm available, she's immediately, I'm the mommy and you are the girl. So, and I'm like, that's fine. The girl's very tired. Can she sleep? And usually I can, which is fantastic. So I just lie down and have a rest while she is the mommy. Okay. All right. So we need to know what is quantity time for them and not necessarily for us. Okay. So it's not about us. It's about them. Okay. Right. The next type is misbehavior towards others. This is where sibling rivalry comes in. Who knows about sibling rivalry? Okay. I have to say this is probably the hardest part of parenting for me. Sometimes it feels like they're fighting all the time, and it's not that bad. It just feels like that. But there are other times where they really, I don't want to scare those of you who don't have two children yet. There are times when it really goes well. It just feels bad. It'll be things like teasing, insulting, hitting, biting, being bossy, and even things like sexual exploration between preschoolers specifically. Okay. Here we want to focus the positive attention on the victim. So if your child is a bit of a bully and he pushes the other children or he bites them or he kicks them, you don't want to immediately go to him and be all attentive to him because he's now done this thing. You want to immediately go to the victim so that they realize this is not actually, I've now hurt this kid and now he gets all the attention. Okay. Then you want to remove him from the situation and insist that he corrects what has happened before he's allowed to return to the group. Okay. Expect them to admit what they did wrong and demand do-overs for correct conflicts resolution. Okay, so we have a lot of this in our home. Have you guys heard of the ouch couch or the chunk bunk? Okay. This is also one of the evergreen ideas which we use a lot, and it works very well. Okay, so we decided to do it like they do. So we have the couch. If there's a fight, then everyone goes to the couch. And then every child has to admit what they did wrong. So they're not allowed to say anything about what the others did. They have to say what they did wrong. And if they have now all done this and someone left out something, then the others are allowed to fill in the picture. But then every child has to apologize for what they did. They have to forgive each other. and then preferably work out a plan, depending on what it is that happened. Maybe they're fighting about a toy. They need to make a plan before they can go play again. How are we going to sort this out? And, you know, you can even do this for little ones. You know, maybe even if you've got a toddler and a smaller child that can't speak yet and won't be able to take part in it, you can still do it with a one. But the important thing about this process is to realize that both children are wrong. So you don't want to go in there trying to find the culprit who started this whole thing. Because the other child also needs to learn how to react in that situation. That it's not right to hit back or to shout and scream. What can you rather do? Can you get an adult to come and help you? Can you ask nicely for them to stop or whatever the situation? So again, it's training those kinds of skills. I don't know if this is really relevant, but it's a nice story. We were at a party the other day, and the boys got into a fight about something or other, and I took them to the bathroom, and I said, okay, you guys are staying. And normally they go into separate bathrooms, but there was now only one. So they went in there, and I said, you guys are staying here for 5 minutes. And when I left them, they were both standing in separate corners like this. And when I came back after 5 minutes, they were sitting next to each other on the bath mat, looking like the best of buddies. So it's amazing what 5 minutes of quiet can do for the relationship. What we've also done before is to actually put them in the room and say, you know, when you guys have got a plan to deal with this, then you come out again. And it's amazing what they can come up with. Even small children. Oh, yes, and what we teach our children, we started doing this recently, is what I was saying about recognizing that your reaction to what someone does wrong is just as important, is the word says that we must not repay evil for evil. So we are teaching our kids that now. It says, why did you shout at him like, oh no, why did you hit him? Because he grabbed this from me. So, but that's repaying evil for evil. So they get an understanding of that from a young age already. Okay. All right, so those are all so far teaching skills. Okay. Now the next one is our disobedient and deliberate behavior. And the definition for this kind of behavior is only when our child knows what to do, they know how to do it, they haven't forgotten, they are able to do it, but they choose not to do it. Okay, so it's deliberate, disobedient behavior, it's rebellion. Okay, so it will be refusal to carry out instructions like leaving something you told them to leave or picking up toys or whatever it may be. They don't come when you call them. They refuse to go if you send them somewhere, refuse to do their chores. They talk back to you. They walk away when you're speaking to them, tell you you're not the boss. Anyone had that one before? Deliberately damage property, storm off without permission, go where they're not allowed to. Okay, now, for those of you with smaller children, somewhere between 10 and 12 months, our children start to understand what no means, and cause and effect. So if I do this, then that's going to happen. And then they start to test whether it's going to happen every time. Okay? But that is not, at that age, it's not an attack on your authority. It's simply a developmental phase that they're going through. So you can just give them a firm no and remove the object or remove the problem, preferably. Somewhere between 12 and 8 months, this is when they start to test their will against yours. And for those of you who are there, you will know that look. You can see when they are deliberately testing your will. They look straight at you, and then they do what you just told them not to do. So it's normally quite obvious. And people will say that I'm sure they don't understand. They're still too small. But we'll be amazed by what they do understand. Okay. So in these situations, what we want to do is we want to punish our child. But punishment is not necessarily a hiding. Often when people hear punishment, they immediately think, I need to give my child a hiding. But there are many different types of punishment, and that are appropriate for different ages as well. When our son, our eldest at one stage, when I would speak to him specifically about his behavior, then he would just turn around and run away. But it was rebellious behavior. I just said to him that if he does that, then he's going to stand in a specific spot for 5 minutes that he's not allowed to move. And it happened about twice, and then he started like turning to run, and then he'd remember, and then he'd come back again. So that was a punishment. He had to stand still because of his behavior. I could have chosen to give him a hiding in that situation, and it probably would have been effective, but it's not always necessary to do that. There are many different options for punishment. One of our evergreen resources, I've got it at the back there as well, is a sorry bag, which is a little bag full of different consequences, like vacuuming the floor or making mom and dad's bed for ever many days, or cleaning under the couches or emptying the dustbins. And then there's some fun things thrown in, like the whole family tickles you for 30 seconds, or run 5 times around the house, or do jumping jacks. And there's a grace card in as well, which gives you an opportunity to teach your children about grace. But that's also an opportunity. When you have those situations where there isn't a logical consequence and you don't want to give a hiding, but your child does need to be punished. So, for example, we will use it when our children talk back to us, or if they don't follow our instruction immediately, then they need to take a card out of the bag. So that's just another example. Timeout is an option for smaller kids, physical restraint. You know, especially with our eldest, he's a rose bush for those of you who know the temperaments. And when he was 2, he used to throw horrendous tantrums, so that we would have to restrain him. We chose to do it on his changing table until he calmed down. So physical restraint also works very well. Or children that, you know, knock things down or whatever, to actually just hold their hand for a few counts, that is also effective. Okay. For those of you who have done the course, I don't know if you remember, but go and have a look in the back of your book. There are very nice tables with age-appropriate discipline and rewards, and gives you a whole bunch of ideas. So that's a great place to go and look when you want to develop a plan to deal with your child's behavior. There's really a lot of ideas, so please make use of that. Okay. Hidings are for evil and rebellion. Okay. Hidings do not so much change our behavior, they change our attitude. Okay. Children are neurologically programmed to learn from pain. So like when they put their hand on a hot plate and they burn, they're probably not going to do it again. That's the way that they've been designed. And that's what hidings are for. It's to change their heart's attitude, not to change their behavior. That's what all this correction and training is about, is to teach them new skills, to teach them the right way to do things. Punishment just says, that's not right. Okay. The word says, wickedness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Okay. There is wickedness bound up in the hearts of our children, and that is what the rod of discipline does. Okay. And some of you may have children also that it seems like the hidings don't work. They probably want you to think that. There were days with our eldest as well where it felt like we were giving him hidings the entire day. And sometimes it was just about like that. But now he's 8 years old, and now it's hardly ever necessary. So if we do this properly from a young age, and I'll talk now about what it means to do it properly, then our children will quickly grow out of it. And it won't be necessary later on. The younger we do it, the more consistently we do it, the quicker that it's going to be over. Okay. But again, not in isolation. It must go alongside teaching and guidance. All right. Okay. How do I punish in love? Immediately and short, but with immediately, remember, our children do remember what happened this morning, but we don't want them to wait all day till daddy comes home, or, you know, a few days and they stressing about this time. Privately, so away from everybody else. Unemotionally, so if you need to go and calm down, then go and calm down. Because otherwise it's just going to be an explosive situation that's not going to turn out well. Okay. Age appropriately and objectively. Okay. So for some of us, we won't be able to this is punishment in general, but for hiding specifically, some of us won't be able to do it properly. And then we need to find other ways of doing it. And when we have made mistakes, just be humble enough to say sorry. We are all going to make mistakes. We're not going to get it right every time. But then we need to say sorry to our children. And children are very, very forgiving. Okay. And be faithful enough to be consistent. All right, I'm just going to quickly mention the last two because our time is up. But the next type of behavior is deviant behavior. So this is really stuff that after consequent discipline doesn't come right. So concerning destructive behavior that doesn't come right with consistent discipline. Okay, so it will be children that are oversensitive to noise and movement, or they don't like the textures of clothes and food, hyperactive children behave autistically by rocking, harmful sexual exploration, stealing, drug use, that kind of thing is deviant behavior. And in these situations, we need to find professional help. Okay, and with things like ADD and ADHD that are so common these days, I just want to advise you, if any of you are faced with that, to just make sure that you take the right route. Don't be distracted by what people around you say. Temperament is also consideration. There's one of our temperaments which is called the palm tree. And those children are very active, and they were not designed to sit still. So they may appear to be hyperactive, but it's actually just a part of their temperament. So all I want to say to you is just make sure that you go the right route, you speak to the right people. Evergreen has a fantastic network of people that can help, so get references for that. All right. And then lastly, manipulation, which is also quite a big one. Turning on the tears when they don't get something, stamping their feet, throwing tantrums, refusing to let parents go, saying they're not going to love you anymore, or they feel sick so they can't finish their food. Things like that is all manipulation. And what we want to do here is to remove the reward. In other words, we don't give them what they are manipulating for, obviously. So if we have been doing that, we need to say to them, from now on, that's not going to happen anymore. You're not going to get what you have been trying to manipulate for. Point out the techniques, and here we actually call it by name. We talk about manipulation. Even my three-year-old, she knows what manipulation is because we've pointed out to her when she does that. And when we read books, we talk about, what is that child doing in the story? And then they will tell us it's manipulation. What is that child doing that's crying in the shop because he can't get a chocolate? And it helps them to identify what they are doing and then set boundaries. So in other words, tell them how you would like them to deal with it in the future and what they can rather do, but make sure it never works. Okay. Yeah, I think that's about it. As I said, please come and chat to me at the back if you have any questions. I would really like to speak to you. But before we finish, I'd just like to pray for everyone. Okay. Father God, I just want to thank you for this morning, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for every family that is represented here this morning, even those, Lord, that don't have children yet, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your plan for families, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that family was your idea, God. And we look around us and we see so much brokenness, Lord, so many families that are falling apart, Father, and we know that that's not your will and your desire. But Lord, we desire, God, to have whole and healthy families. We desire to do things the right way, Lord, to do things according to your plan and your perspective, Father. And this morning, Father, we just ask that you will come and help us to do that. There's a whole bunch of practical things here, Lord, and things that we can do. But Father, we need you. We cannot do this on our own, and thank you, Lord, that you don't expect us to. And Father, I pray for everyone here this morning, Lord, for wisdom in those difficult situations, Lord God, to do the right thing, Father. I pray, Lord God, for every person to stay connected to you, Lord, to your word, Father, to spend time in your word, to spend time in your presence, Lord God, to know, Father, how you see things and what your perspective is, Lord, on family and on parenting. And on children. Lord, I really just trust you for that wisdom this morning. And Father, I pray for those that are battling, Father, for those that who don't have a plan yet, Lord. I pray that you will give them wisdom to work that plan out, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I also just pray that you will help us to stay focused on what it is that we're doing, to maintain that long-term perspective. What is it that we're aiming for, Lord? And to recognize that every situation is an opportunity to teach our child something, to teach them about you, Lord, to teach them about right and wrong, Father. And help us, Lord, also to have grace with our children when the situation calls for it, Lord, to teach them about your grace. Help us to love them unconditionally, Lord, and to lay down our lives, Father, for them in Jesus' name. Thank you for this incredibly important task that you have given us. It's hard work, Lord. It's tough. Sometimes we don't feel up to it, Father God. But we recognize this morning that children are a blessing from you, Lord, and that it is a privilege to be able to raise them. Please help us, Lord, to remember that, Father. Thank you for the blessings that you have given us, Lord. Thank you for what we learn through them. Thank you for what they teach us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.